Friends, our order of worship, we had to prepare this week just as we were waiting for things from the district, but apparently now this, by and large, is going to be the worship service, most of it anyway, that's going to be used at our district convention in 2 weeks. So we begin with the invocation and opening psalm. As you are able, please stand. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Beloved is God's people, chosen with purpose, abiding in Jesus. We live in the promises and blessings of Him who has redeemed us and called us His own. The psalmist writes, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And yet, frequently we do not live as children of the light. Looking to the infinite mercy and forgiveness of our Savior, we take a moment in silence to reflect on our lives and His precious word. Let us now make confession of our sins to God, our Heavenly Father, together. Merciful Father, we confess our sinfulness. We are sinful from our birth, and since that time have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by leaving undone those things we ought to have done and doing those things we ought not to have done. We have frequently failed to live as children, chosen with purpose and abiding in Jesus. We sincerely repent of our sins. Graciously hear us, O Lord, and grant us your grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit within us. Lead us to amend our sinful lives, that each day we grow in righteousness and in hope to the glory of your holy name. The psalmist also shares these words, "Blessed is the one against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Jesus, our Redeemer, and God's greatest gift promises forgiveness, life, and salvation. According to His own command, I declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As you believe, so may it be. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today's readings from Holy Scripture are for the celebration of 70 years in God's grace in the Florida, Georgia district. The Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 11. A branch bears fruit whose delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with the righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall be down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lessons comes from Colossians chapter 1. May you be filled with knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. St. Paul writes, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it, and understand the grace of God and truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Long ago, and at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Christ. You may be seated.
My message for this morning, chosen with purpose, abiding in Jesus, which, by the way, that's the theme of this year's Florida Georgia District Convention, which is, as you heard a little bit earlier, a celebration of 70 years of God's grace here for this district. Those words that came from the second lesson, where it says, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Well, now that this past week, all of those winter sports have finally come to an end. They're done. School is out. And suddenly we find ourselves in summer. For most other parts of the country, this is something they've been waiting for. For us here, it's like, oh boy, this is sure going to be fun for the next few months. And yet still, summer, just even down here, brings out all of the things that we really like to celebrate, that admittedly is a little more difficult to celebrate, especially in other parts of the country, in other seasons. Things like family reunions, class reunions, picnics, whatever the case may be. And in the midst of all of this, my friends, you know, I grew up doing a lot of that stuff, and it was always a lot of fun. We were in picnic shelters where there was no air conditioning or anything, but one thing that we always did, whenever we got together for those celebrations, was in the midst of even at the Lutheran school reunion that we had some, it was a little better than 15 years ago, we had to have a softball game. Now, softball is a lot like baseball, if you know a little bit about baseball, how that works. You know, you got those outfielders that are in left and in center and in right field, and then those infielders, third base and second and first, and a shortstop and a catcher and a pitcher. But softball is a little different, not the least of which is that the ball is thrown for you to hit underhand, not overhand. But more than that, in most of the games of softball, you have a 10th player. That player is called a rover. And because in softball, not in baseball, you might have managers that are mostly in the dugout giving directions, coaches that are trying to get you to the right places. You don't have any of that in softball. All of the people that you need are out on the field already. And so what this rover does is his job is supposed to be to look in at whoever it is that's batting and try to figure out where they might try to hit the ball and then put himself in a spot where he can be kind of an extra infielder, outfielder, whatever the case may be. And with every single hitter, the rover may be moving from place to place. He may not ever stay in the same spot for two batters in a row. There may be some times, especially if the guy can hit the ball hard, where he'll make himself, instead of having three outfielders, he'll make himself a fourth outfielder. Or he'll position himself just outside the infield in a spot where usually he would be able to hit it, but if somebody hits it just past the infield, he's there waiting for it. The rover at some point, and they would pick somebody that could kind of serve as rover, but it didn't take them long to realize that the rover probably needed to be the best player on the team. A lot of times those guys would play shortstop or something else like that, but the rover, because he needed to be wise enough to know what God's people were going to do, ultimately was the person who was put in a spot where wherever he was needed, that's where he was. And whatever he had to do, that's what he did. When it comes to the business of being chosen with purpose and abiding in Jesus, my friends, every one of us have been called to that exact same position where we are going to be serving as, shall we say, a rover. God has given us eyes, ears, all of our senses, and we are there to use them to see, to be able to see, to hear, to understand. Where are we most needed? And you know, whereas a rover is not always going to be in the right spot. In fact, you know, part of the whole business of playing a game like that is to try to, if you're hitting, your job is to try to hit the ball, they say, where the fielders aren't. But as a rover, our job is to try to see, where are we going to be needed the most? Where can we be of the most help? And it puts us in places we never thought we were going to have to be. Because life, while in some ways life is like a softball field, life is not lived on a softball field, at least not a real one, but it is a lot like one. Now, if you're used mostly to watching the game of baseball, you know that, like, for example, that part that they call the infield, which is around the pitcher's mound, with the exception of that mound, a little pitch on the home plate, and then going up the two baselines, most of the infield is made of grass on a baseball field. On a softball field, it's just a gigantic circle of dirt. And that's where we all start, my friends. Whether it's as we get, shall we say, down and dirty with the lives of this world, doing whatever it is that we have to do, finding God's people to bring to them salvation, it is not an easy task. It is one of those tasks that you're not going to be able to do it without getting your hands a little bit dirty. And you would always even see, whether it's softball or any other sport, but by the time they got done, there was a lot of dirt on the front and on your pants and whatever else you were wearing. Beyond that, whether it's baseball or softball, this is the same, where there are these two lines that go out. One is for down what they call the third baseline. The other is down the first baseline. And out here, here is where you're going to try to hit the ball. If you hit it back over here on the other side of those lines, or if it stays in play, maybe they'll get you out. But for the most part, none of that matters. We have a place where our eyes and our attention are focused, and that's where our lives are going to be. They talk about sometimes living our lives inside the lines, and perhaps they might be talking about, you know, trying to abide in the law that has been placed in our great land for us. But it's also talking about us being able to see. Where is it that God has asked us to set up our mission field? And one of the things that we learn about is that as our church body was being formed, it started getting way too big to just be represented from one place. So they set up these things that were called districts. You know, just little regions of the country, a lot of times where they were set up in such a way so that they could be, that they could represent various states. Now, not that long ago, I was on Facebook and I saw the set of maps. There were six maps of the state of Florida, and every one of them were subdivided into these little groups that said, if you're from Florida, this is what it means to live in Florida. And I'll use an example. Like, for example, the top of the state, it would say, rooting for Florida State. The middle of the state would say, rooting for Florida. The bottom of part of the state would say, rooting for Miami. Another part would basically say, you know, planting garden crops way up in the north central part of the state, just as it goes up to the Georgia state line. And then towards the bottom, it was growing various fruits like oranges and so forth. That was towards the bottom of the state. And along both coasts, it had this term, growing golf courses. I suppose that represents our area as well. And we come to see that, yes, Florida is a mission opportunity, not necessarily because of the things I just described to you, but that as we do some of the ministry that we do within the state of Florida, we see how God has set the challenges very differently for us depending on where we are. And lest we forget, we are not the Florida district. One of the big complaints I would always hear from my father, who lives in Georgia, was that they always felt like up there, like it was the Florida district that just happened to include the state of Georgia. And the current district president, who did a lot of his ministry up in a suburb of Atlanta, has worked very hard to change that perception. Because, let's face it, while Georgia geographically is very different from Florida, you go up into North Georgia and you go into the foot of what is actually the beginning of the Appalachian Mountains. I mean, it's very mountainous in northern Georgia, something you would never be able to say about our state here. And the challenges and the cultural realities that people have to face are as different from there as well. And that is what we face as we are chosen with purpose, abiding in Jesus. But unless we get the wrong idea, you know, in some ways, as we gather together at a district convention in 2 weeks, a convention that has chosen these folks here in Faith Factor to provide the music that we've been listening to this morning as a part of their Sunday worship, we do look to these districts to help provide us some leadership, some different kinds of, whether it's materials, guidance, studies, the types of things that would genuinely help us. Because to be really honest, and I don't say this to be insulting to district offices, but when it really comes down to it, the district is nothing. And they'll say that. Oh, we have to get together, but what is the district? A gathering of congregations just like ours. And as we here, as one of those congregations who are chosen with purpose, abiding in Jesus, how are we going to look at ourselves? Are we going to look at ourselves just kind of like that little bit of dirt that's just a few feet in front of home plate on a softball diamond? Or are we going to look and see what lies beyond? There was this movie, The Field of Dreams, that kind of hinted that as you went beyond the outfield, here was this amazing thing. And yes, it's not quite the mystic thing that it showed in the movie. But the mission field that waits for us, my friends, is astounding. And waiting for all of us. And we can look at our congregation in one of two ways. We can look at it the way it is getting easy to look at. Where, you know, we've been doing this for a long time and there just aren't as many of us as there used to be. And it's getting harder and harder to do even the basic things that we want to do. And we may have to do a lot of changes to adapt and adjust to that. Or we can look at just what took place. In an entire huge district that, I'm going to be honest, had many alternatives that they could have chosen from in terms of helping to provide some of the things that they needed for the district convention. They chose something right out of our own congregation here. We'll leave it to another time to start asking the what's and the whys, but the simple fact is that somebody saw something that they perceived as quite valuable right here in our own midst. And I will say to you that we have a lot more of value than just one musical group that is going to perform. Oh, yes, they are going to represent us, and they're going to represent us well. But the time is going to come for each of us to be that representation of Christ and his people, because we have been chosen with purpose. We are abiding in Jesus. And we keep reminding ourselves as to what this whole thing is all about. That as we prepare ourselves for something that is truly eternal, something that is truly unites us with Jesus Christ, we remind ourselves that he has delivered us from the domain of the inheritance of the saints of light and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. My friends, I don't know if you're going to get a chance to see what our congregation gets to share with the district in 2 weeks. Whether you do or do not, just remember what a privilege it is to be a part of something so exciting, but be even more excited that you have been chosen as the rover, the person that's going to be wherever it is that God most needs you, because you have been chosen with purpose. You are abiding in him who gave his life for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith now. So the words of the Apostles' Creed, it's up on the screens. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we receive our offerings. During the offering, friends, we lift up our hearts to the Lord as we bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, strengthen our stay. We praise you that you have shown your creation to us, that you have made us your children, that you have allowed us truly to be people who are chosen with purpose, abiding in you. We praise you for revealing yourself to us in your word, for showing us your will. Help us to be wise and righteous, so that as you pour out your spirit on us, we may grow in knowing and loving you, being where you want us to be, doing what you would have us do, experiencing that your word truly is wisdom and truth that guides us in all things. By your love for us, move us to love you and those about us with a love that is not mere words, but is genuine and active. Give us sympathetic hearts for all those people that are in need, that we may share with them the bounty that you have shared with us. And grant that they, through that love, may learn to know your love and to praise you. Enable us and all in your church, at the local, circuit, district, synodical, and international levels, faithfully to take your invitation to all people, that people everywhere may respond to your mercy with happy and thankful hearts. Continue to send forth your messengers that come from our congregations with happy and thankful hearts. Blessed be with them, so that they may invite to your banquet of grace the spiritually poor, the crippled, the blind, the weak, the erring, the troubled, so that they may taste and see of your mercy and love. Rule over our nation, Lord. Guide all to whom you have given authority. Bless our society with pure motives, noble goals, moral strength. Give all the desire to live before you in loving trust and obedience. Bless our homes and make them places of true learning and love. And bless our district that has served the states of Florida and Georgia for 70 years in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We pray for your special protection and help for the sick, the sorrowful, the aged, the lonely, the troubled, the bereaved, and those that are in any malady of body, soul, heart, or mind. We pray on behalf of the family of Greg Musgrave for comfort and strength during this time. On behalf of Jim Cryer, Donnelly Ogorzelek, we now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of the special comfort and help that you give, that we name in a moment of silence. Meet their needs with your mercy. Show them the wonderful things you have prepared for all your children. Hear our prayers, Lord. If there is anything else we should ask for, grant it for the sake of Jesus, who taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This prayer we conclude with by praying together. Almighty and eternal God, your Son Jesus triumphed over sin, death, and the devil, and freed us from our bondage to sin. Rule our lives, enable us to do your will, and help others to see that we truly are chosen with purpose and abiding in Jesus. Through him who is our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That's our faith factor. We thank him for doing this morning's service. And what I'm going to do for district, since the service for district convention is scheduled in 2 weeks at 8 a.m., if they do set up a live stream, in the email that I'm sending out to people, if a link comes that allows us to see that live stream so you can watch them in Orlando, we will pass that along to you. Okay, before I give the go in peace and serve the Lord here, our final, they're going to be singing As We Depart. God alone is my rock. So thanks for joining us today. Go in peace and serve the Lord.